life.
We are starting a brand new chapter, chapter 43. We're going to be climbing lofty heights. We're thinking, how are we going to study these concepts that seem so beyond us, so lofty, so exalted? And there's more than one thing to say about this, but one of the things that I think brings such an excitement for us getting to study this is a mimer, a Hasidic discourse of the Rebbe that he gave in Tefshin Tes Zion. And in this Hasidic discourse, where the Rebbe talks about the influence of the primordial snake, the Rebbe talks about the condition of timtum halev, a stuffed up heart, an insensitive heart, spiritually insensitive. And he describes it. What is it? Your mind understands. Your mind understands these godly ideas, but your heart doesn't respond. And it's a spiritual illness that the Alter Rebbe addresses in Tanya called timtum halev, a stuffed up heart. The Talmud speaks about timtum halev. The Talmud says that somebody who eats non-kosher food stuffs up his heart. So a person has this condition of a stuffed up heart. Their mind understands, their heart won't respond. The Rebbe gives three prescriptions for dealing with this issue. The first prescription he gives is the advice that the Alter Rebbe gives in Tanya. We studied that in chapter 29. We studied it last chapter in chapter 42. That in order to resensitize our heart, we have to shatter the ego. That was the advice of the Zohar. The log that won't catch fire needs to be splintered. The body that won't catch the light of the soul has to be crushed. So that was shattering the ego. Then the Rebbe gives another piece of advice. Astounding. The Rebbe says that learning lofty, godly ideas, learning about the infinite one on a lofty level, will literally flood our soul with light and cure us of that condition. So the first method was shattering the ego, but the Rebbe gave us another method. And he said, just flood your soul with light. Study deep, lofty ideas. Study high levels about Hashem, things that you think are beyond you. And when your mind gets that, your heart will respond. And the Rebbe gives a third piece of advice. He said, read the words of the Torah. The Torah is chachma, and those words of the Torah will split through and cure the person of their insensitive heart. So it's very appropriate for our chapter, because we're going to talk about levels that are so high. We think like, really? Me? Yes, me. And not only, even until I get there, at least it will cure me of an insensitive heart. I'm going to read the introduction from Lessons in Tanya, and then we'll do our own introduction. Chapter 43. The Alter Rebbe explained in the previous chapter that every Jew has the ability to attain Yirat HaTa'ah, the lower level of fear of Hashem. This enables him to perform all the positive mitzvahs and refrain from transgressing all the negative mitzvahs. In the present chapter, the Alter Rebbe goes on to explain the two levels of fear of Hashem, Yirat HaTa'ah and Yirat Ilah, the lower and higher levels of fear, respectively. So in chapter 41, we learned that fear is pivotal in serving Hashem. What did the Alter Rebbe say? He said, it's Reishis Ha'avaida V'Ikara V'Sharsha. It's the beginning of service, its core, and its root. You cannot serve Hashem without having fear of Him. Why do we have to have fear of Hashem? Is it enough to love Him? And the answer is no. Fear is crucial. Fear is crucial for more than one reason. First of all, if all we do is serve Hashem out of love, then we have never stepped out of our own ego. It's all about me. I want to connect to Hashem. When have we put aside our own will in deference to the will of Hashem? We haven't done that. So how is that serving Hashem? And in order for it to be called service, it has to be out of fear. So we get it. That serving Hashem has to be first out of fear. That's the first step in serving Him. But then we have a question. Let's look at a verse from the Torah. In Parshas Va'aschanan, this is in Chumash Devarim, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people like this, Vayitzavenu Hashem la'aseis es kol hachukam ha'ela
Liyirah es Hashem Elokeinu. And Hashem commanded us to perform all these statutes to fear Hashem, our God. So first we're learning that we can't even begin to serve Hashem unless we have fear of Him. But when we look at this verse from the Torah, it makes us aware that everything that we do in Torah and mitzvahs is to bring us to this one space, to fear Hashem. So is fear just a prerequisite? Is it like the preface for us for serving Him? Or is it actually the destination? Looking at this verse from the Torah, it looks like fear is the destination. And in fact, that's what we're going to visit in this chapter. There are two levels of fear. There's fear that serves as the stepping stone. It's the gateway. It's before we do anything else, this is what we have to have. Otherwise, we have nothing. And then there is fear as the destination. And fear as the destination is called Yirah Ila'ah, higher fear. So now we get it. That's two fears that we're talking about, not just one. And that's why there's one that serves as the basis. There's one that serves as the destination. But one thing we aren't clear yet is, why is fear the destination? So let's remember what we learned in chapters 33, in chapter 36. In chapter 33, the Alter Rebbe said, "V'zeh kol ha'adam v'sachas b'riasai u'v'rias kol ha'ilamais." This is the purpose of the man. Our whole purpose is, and the purpose of all the world, is so that Hashem can have a home in the lowest realms. Chapter 36, we explored at length that this world is the lowest realms. And how do we define lowest realms? It's the place where He is not recognized. So in every other world, you know that there's a creator simply by looking around. When you see sunlight, you don't have to meditate and say, "I know there must be a sun." No, you look at sunlight and sunlight attests to the sun. This is the only physical world. All the other worlds are spiritual. Spiritual things show their source. In every other world, even the lowest of the spiritual worlds, you know there's a creator. In this world, a person can walk around and say, "Hey, there's no God. I made myself. I'm a self-made man." People love to say that, right? Only in this world, because it's the lowest realms. What was Hashem's dream in creating the world? That it will be a world like this. He made all these concealments so that we can actually think of ourselves as an independent existence. Wild as it sounds, because it's crazy that we can think of ourselves as an independent existence. It's like a shadow tells the person, "Just a second, I have something else to do right now. I'll be back." No, you're just the shadow. You don't have an independent existence. What does that mean? It's crazy that we can think we're an independent existence. And that is our purpose in this world. To come to recognize that there's nothing else besides Hashem, we fulfill our own purpose and the purpose of all of creation. And that's why Yirah Ila'ah, the higher fear, is the destination. Because higher fear, like we're going to study, is not just, I mean, this is not just, but recognizing the greatness of Hashem. That's huge. But it's even beyond that. It's realizing that there's no independent existence outside of Hashem. And that is what Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about when he says, Hashem commanded us all these laws to fear Hashem, is to come to that place of Yirah Ila'ah. So let's get into it. At the end of the chapter, by the way, as they note in Lessons in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains that just like there are two general levels of fear of Hashem, there are also two general levels of love of Hashem. Okay, but we're first going to revisit Yirah Tata'ah, the lower level of fear that we were looking at last chapter. Vihine. Al yira tata azai, shehi l'kiyum mitzvay sav yisparech bevchinas sur meirava asetayv. Concerning this level of yira tata, of which it was said in the previous chapter that it is in the province of every Jew, which is necessary for the fulfillment of his mitzvahs in both areas of turn away from evil and do good, meaning in the performance of the negative and positive commands, amru im ein yira ein chachma. It was said by our sages, if there is no fear, there is no wisdom. If fear of God is lacking, then one cannot properly fulfill the Torah and mitzvot. So we have an interesting Mishnah in Avot. It says, "Im ein chachma, ein yira, im ein yira, ein chachma." If there is no wisdom, there is no fear. If there is no fear, there is no wisdom. Get it? It's very hard to understand. So then where do you begin? In fact, the Alter Rebbe, in a Hasidic discourse, says like this. Apparently, it's impossible to start, not from this one and not from that one, because this one cannot happen without the other. So where do we begin? So we say, if there's no wisdom, there's no fear. If there's no fear, there's no wisdom. Okay, so where do we start? The Alter Rebbe is going to explain there's two kinds of fear that we're talking about here. One of them is the one that you can't have wisdom without, and that's the lower level of fear. Without having this lower level of fear, we can't begin to serve Hashem. So up until now, we were talking about Yira Tata'a, the lower level of fear, and about this level of fear, the one that makes us just do the right thing, like we spoke about at length. I'm Hashem's servant. I realize that He's watching me. I would never want to rebel against Him. We can't begin to serve. About this level, our Chachamim said, Imein Yira in Chachma. If there is no fear, there is no wisdom. The Yeshba, Bechinas Katnos uVechinas Gadlos. This lower level of fear comprises a mode of smallness and a mode of greatness. The quality of smallness describes the fear which is experienced as a result of a Jew's innate fear of God, and which is merely revealed through meditating upon matters that lead to the fear of God. Since it does not result from contemplating Hashem's greatness, it is deemed small. The quality of greatness characterizes the fear of God that results from contemplating God's greatness as it can be discerned from creation. So, we were speaking about last chapter two levels of this lower level of fear. One of them is simply realizing that I have a master. I recognize that Hashem is in charge. And not just He's in charge, but He's looking at me. He's watching me. He's scrutinizing my insides. That gets me to walk in all His ways. I realize that Hashem is in charge. This is not fear of punishment. Fear of punishment has nothing to do with Hashem. Fear of punishment is a self-centered, if you want to say, fear. This is a fear of Hashem is in charge. Hashem is the master. He's looking at me. I would never want to rebel against Him. So it gets us to do the right thing. There's a higher level than that. It's not just realizing that Hashem is in charge, but recognizing Hashem's greatness. Realizing the vastness of all His creations, and He's the one who gives vitality and sustains all of that. We realize something about the greatness of Hashem. And that is Yira Tata'a, the lower level of fear, but in a mode of greatness. At this place, we recognize Hashem's greatness. We actually have a recognition, something of Him. It's not only knowing that He's in charge, but knowing something about His greatness. It's like recognizing the greatness of the King. The Alter Rebbe was going to describe this. Dehainu kishenim sheches bechina yira zay meha hisbeinenus begdulas Hashem. This is when the category of the lower fear is a result of the contemplation on the greatness of Hashem as it is perceived through His providing life to creation. So before, when we were just dealing with this lower level, which is us submitting to Hashem and accepting His yoke, it's I have a master. But there's a level above that. It's meditating upon Hashem's greatness. And the Alter Rebbe now is describing what does that meditation look like. De'ihu mimale ka'omen, that He fills all worlds. God provides all worlds with vitality by vesting Himself in them. This life force is attuned to the innate spirituality of the particular world or created being in which it is vested. The higher the world or created being, the loftier its life force. So the Midrash says like this, Ma ha-nefesh mimal'a es ha-guf, kach ha-kadosh baruch hu mimale es ilamai. Just as the soul fills the body, so does God fill His world. The body lives because it is filled with life force. Why does the world exist? The world exists because it is filled with divine life force. Stop for a minute and think about the vastness of the universe. And this is what the Alter Rebbe now describes. This is from the Talmud. Umeh ha'aretz l'rakia mahalach taf kuf shana v'chulei uvein rakia l'rakia chulei. And from the earth to the heavens is a distance of 500 years. And the distance from one heaven to the next is also a journey of 500 years. Ragle hachayes keneged kulan v'chulei. And the feet, meaning the lowest level of the angels called chayot, measure up to them all. The lowest level of these angels, Chayot, transcends all the other levels. Whoa, so what does that mean? Let's look at the Talmud. The Talmud says like this. Min ha'aretz ad l'rakia mahalach chamesh mi'eis shana. V'ayv yeshel rakia mahalach chamesh mi'eis shana. V'chein bin kol rakia v'rakia. L'mayla mehen chayes ha'kodesh ragli ha'chayes keneged kulan. From the earth to the firmament is a walking distance of 500 years. The thickness of the firmament itself is a walking distance of 500 years. And a similar distance exists between each and every one of the firmaments. There are seven. And above them, above all the firmaments, are the divine creatures. The feet of the divine creatures correspond in distance to all the firmaments. So, first of all, it's not to be taken literally. You know, sometimes we have to take things literally, and sometimes we shouldn't take things literally. There's a great joke, or it's not a joke, it's a funny anecdote of a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, Rav Shmuel Munkus. He was a brilliant man, a very righteous man, and very, very funny. Rav Shmuel Munkus was once met by this guy who thought of himself as a great Kabbalist, and he said, you know, I heard really great things of the Alter Rebbe. I'm going to go travel to Liuzhna and test him on his knowledge of Kabbalah. You know, I'm a great Kabbalist, and I want to see just, you know, how much does the Alter Rebbe know? And Rav Shmuel said, you know, you're a great Kabbalist. I want to ask you something. I want you to decipher a Kabbalistic text that I came across, and I just can't figure it out. So he said, okay, let me hear it. So he said like this. At first, it started off as scattered, but then it became connected as one. Then it came to the level of the circle. The levels of the three lines was applied to it, and it became centered on the inner point at its essence. Through the combination of the foundation of water with the foundation of fire, it was completed and it was good. The man looked at him and he said, wow, you know, I heard of circle, I heard of lines, foundation of fire, foundation of water, but I don't know the meaning of this. So Rav Shmuel said, when you go to the Alter Rebbe, please ask him what this means. And he said, okay. So he goes to the Alter Rebbe and he presents him with this text, you know, trying to look like a master Kabbalist and genius. The Alter Rebbe smiles and he says, it is a krept, which is like a soup dumpling. Yeah. And the man was like, what? And so the Alter Rebbe explained it to him. He said, the flour at first is scattered, but it is kneaded with water and becomes connected as one. The dough is then rolled into circles, folded into triangles with chicken or meat in the middle. It's boiled in soup on the foundations of water and fire, and it's good to eat. So some things are meant to be taken not in a mystical way, but very, very literally. The man failed to do that. But here we're saying this is not to be taken literally. We have to look. How do we think about angels? Obviously, they're not beings with bodies. The Rambam, in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, we just started the Rambam again, our cycle. And I have to say that for anybody who thought they shouldn't do Rambam, try it. One chapter a day. We just started the cycle again, starting Sunday. I'm telling you, it's the best. Learning Rambam is an incredible journey, and it's an incredible achievement. It literally changes the world. It's the only work that has all the 613 mitzvot in one volume in an organized way. It is incredible. But anyway.
What's the book? Kids' book.
It's called Mishneh Torah.
Oh, you might appreciate.
If you get the Chayenu, then they do the one chapter cycle. They even have Chayenu 3, which is the three chapters. But for those of us who are doing one chapter, do the one chapter. It is amazing. You can do Rabbi Gordon's class. He has such an amazing class, Chabad.org. Do the one chapter Rambam. It will give you an expanded mind. Your mind will be different. You start learning Rambam.
If anyone doesn't know
how to do it, you can tell them. Chabad.org daily study. It's on there with Rabbi Gordon's classes. His classes are wonderful. They're relatable. They're funny. Okay. So let's look at the Rambam, Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. Okay. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, chapter 2, Hamalachim einam guf ugevia, ela tzureis nifrades zay mizay. Umahu ze shahanavim aimim, shara'u hamalach eish uval knafayim, hakol bimara hanavu vaderechida. The angels do not possess bodies or corporeal being, but rather are forms which are separate from each other. What is meant by the prophet's statements that they saw an angel of fire or with wings? All these are prophetic visions and parables. So we're looking at the Talmud, And the Talmud is talking about the walk, the thickness of the heavens and how they measure up. The Talmud continues, by the way, talking about different levels of the angels' bodies. All this is, only comes up to the feet of the chayot. So we're thinking about, just think about it for a minute. The earth to the heavens, a walking distance of 500 years. So the Talmud says that a walking distance of a man is 10 parsaot. So during the day, he walks 10 parsaot. So think about he walks day and night. So that would be 20. Times that by 500. So that's the distance from heaven to earth. So, you know, they, scientists are measuring by the speed of light. We're measuring by the speed of walking. Man's walking. Walking from earth to heaven. And then the thickness of every heaven is also 500 years. And then between heaven to heaven is 500 years. You start measuring that for seven heavens, the thickness, the distance until the earth. You start coming to an astounding vastness, astounding vastness of our universe. And then take that to measure up against the chayot, heavenly creatures. What does it measure up to? The feet of the chayot. And of course, again, chayot have no feet. This means in spiritual rank. In spiritual rank, all of creation that we know about, heavens, earth, just come up to the feet, the very, very lowest level of these heavenly beings. And the Talmud continues. All that just only comes up to the ankles, then the shins, and then the knees, the thighs, the body, the head, the horns of these beings. So just think about the vastness of Hashem's creation. This is concentrating, contemplating Hashem's greatness. This is the lower level of fear, but in a mode of greatness, getting to know Him through His creation. Like, you want to know the greatness of a king? Look at what he rules over. Look at the vastness, the power of his countries, the inestimable number of his subjects. What a great king. We're thinking about Hashem's greatness. Think about what he created, the distance from earth to heaven, the thickness of every heaven, the distance between one heaven and another, and all that measures up to just the feet of one of these heavenly creatures that Hashem created. If we really sit with that, we become astounded by Hashem's greatness. V'chein hishtalshalus kol ha'ilamais l'mayla mayla ad rum ha'maylis. And similarly, with one's contemplation on the evolvement of all the worlds, one above the other, to the topmost heights of the most spiritual worlds. When a person contemplates and gains a deep understanding of the divine life force that provides life to all worlds and spiritual levels, and hence attains a fear of God, then this understanding may be described by the term greatness. However, if this is the case, why then is this level considered part of Yiratata'a, the lower level of fear? So we're not just thinking about Hashem is the master, he's in charge, he's watching me, I never want to rebel against him. No, we're taking the time to get to know his greatness. We're looking at the Talmud, how it describes the vastness of the universe, and that's what he created. We get to have a fear of Hashem based on that greatness. Why are we still calling this Yiratata'a, the lower level? The Alter Rebbe will answer this by explaining that since this fear derives from contemplation of godliness as it fills all worlds, and thus is bound up with them, it necessarily is a lower level of fear. For this life force is concealed in the world in such a way that they are still able to be aware of their own existence and being. At this level, the worlds merely nullify their being and existence in deference to their life force. This is termed bittul hayesh, the nullification of a being that is aware of its own existence. So we're thinking about Hashem's greatness based on the worlds. When we think about his greatness based on the worlds, then we can only nullify to a certain extent. We nullify out of deference to Hashem, but we still consider ourselves something of an independent existence. There's another level of nullification where we don't even think we exist. We start to realize that nothing has any value or significance. No independent existence at all besides Hashem, and that's much higher. The fear which results from this contemplation can only belong to the level of Bittul HaYesh and not the higher form of nullification known as Bittul B'Metzius, which is total and complete nullification of self. It is for this reason that even the fear, which has the quality of greatness, is still only a level of Yirat HaTa'ah, the lower level of fear. And this is what the Alter Rebbe is now going to say. So before we look at the Alter Rebbe's words in the Tanya, let's look at something else that the Alter Rebbe wrote. The Alter Rebbe wrote something called Ha'arot Tikkun Chatzais, Notes on Tikkun Chatzot, the Midnight Lamentation. And he says, what I'm writing here is an additional explanation to what I wrote in chapter 43 in Tanya. So what's this additional explanation that the Alter Rebbe gives us in this Hasidic discourse? He said, it's according to what I heard from my teacher, the Maggid of Mezrich. And he talks about two kinds of fear. One kind of fear is the fear that you have of a great king, a great, noble, and powerful king who rules over most of the world or even all of the world. The more that you think about the king's greatness, the more of a fear that you have of him. And the fear that we're talking about here is not a fear of he's in charge, I have to listen to him. That's fear of sin, which recognizes that he's the master and he's looking at me. And of course, it's not fear of punishment. This is fear of his greatness, recognizing that he is powerful. He rules over powerful countries. He has many, many subjects. I recognize his greatness. That's why I have a fear of him. Nevertheless, what kind of fear do I have of him? I have a fear only on an external level. Because the Alter Rebbe there explores, what is this fear of? It's only a fear of the external aspect of the king. It's nothing about who he is as a person. It's about how his power is manifested over others. It doesn't tell us about his inner being, his intellect, his emotion. It tells us only about his externality, how he relates to other people, not how he is unto himself. So even that kind of fear, which is a fear of recognizing his greatness, only relates to his outer self, his superficial self. It's a superficial level of fear. There's another kind of fear that the Alter Rebbe describes in that Hasidic discourse, and it was the fear of Adam Gadol B'Dorei V'Tzadik, a great man in his generation and a pious man. What's the fear that a person feels in his presence? It's not a fear of his external self. It's a fear of the inner being of the person. When you realize who this person is, you realize his greatness in his essence, that causes a person to feel a profound sense of, and I'm going to use this word, then we'll have to explain it, shame. We hate that word. It's so not popular. And so we have to find another way of describing it, because that is what the word is, shame. But when we think of shame, we think of like, there's something wrong with me. It's not about there's something wrong with me. The shame is a deep awareness that this person is so much greater than me that compared to him, I'm like the dust. Yeah, I'm like nothing.
That doesn't feel like shame to me. Shame is such a
embarrassment.
Yeah, so do you have another word?
Bittul.
Yes, yeah. It's bittul. It's bittul. But the word that we're going to use here is shame. And this expression, Yirei Baishas, that we're going to look at, is actually sourced in the Zohar, which says that the word Bereishis, the first word in the whole Torah, Bereishis, can be reconfigured to say Yirei Boshas, a fear stemming from shame. So we're looking at two kinds of fear over here. We're looking at the fear of a king while recognizing his greatness. That is a fear, and it's a fear on a high level. We've come not to just realize that he's the master, that he has rulership. We've really thought about him. We come to recognize his greatness, the extent of his power, the vastness of his reach, his numerous subjects. We come to know something about his greatness. But what is this greatness? It's only an external aspect of him. And we can't say that a person is insignificant compared to him at that level. Why? Because Ein Melech Bilai Am, there is no king without a people. His greatness is made up because he has people. The Rebbe in a discourse refers to this discourse of the Alter Rebbe, and he says, "Kevan she'ein melech b'loy am behechrech shaham yesh loy tfisas makim legabe hamelech v'lachin ein ze mashal yira ila'a bitul b'metzias." Since there is no king without a nation, necessarily the people have significance relative to the king, and therefore this is not a parable for yira ila'a, the higher fear, which is nullification in essence. So the fear of a king recognizing his greatness is an external, superficial kind of level. The fear of a noble tzaddik, someone who is just light years ahead of everybody else, way beyond everyone in level, imagine you're in his presence. It's like shame, like you're blushing in your heart. You feel like, I'm no one. It's not a fear of his external self. It's fear out of recognizing who he is. Who is this man? And that causes me to feel fear, to feel a different level, a shame. And that's an inner kind of fear. That is Yira Ila, and the Alter Rebbe is going to tell us about that. But first, he's going to describe why this kind of fear, where we recognize Hashem's greatness, is only an external level. Afal pi chein, nikra yira zay, yira chitzaynes v'tata'a. Nevertheless, this fear is called an external and inferior fear, yiratata, since it is derived from the world, meaning from understanding the greatness of Hashem as a result of meditating upon the divine life force which animates them. Where are we getting this fear from? We're meditating about the vastness of the universes. That was bringing us this fear. But what is this fear? It's drawn from the world, and what are the worlds? Sheheim levushim, shaham melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asher mistater, umisalim, umislabish behem lahacha yosef ulekaimam, lihiyais yesh me'ayin v'chulei. For they are garments of the King, the Holy One, blessed be He, who conceals and hides and clothes Himself in them, in these worlds, to animate them and give them existence, that they may exist ex nihilo. Before the worlds were created, they did not exist at all. They were in a state of non-being. Through their creation, they became beings, entities whose existence could be experienced. This is the manner in which the divine life force animates them and clothes itself in creation. That created beings should be able to perceive themselves as existing entities, which nevertheless are nullified to their divine life force. Therefore, as explained earlier, this contemplation can only result in a level of bitul hayesh and not bitul b'metzias, which is the level of Yira Ila, the higher level of fear. So yes, we're coming to recognize the greatness of Hashem, but what are we looking at? We're looking at worlds. What are worlds? They're only external garments of the King. Can you compare the King to his clothes? Come on, there's no value of clothes compared to the person. It's nothing to do with, there's no relationship, there's no way we could compare. So how are we getting to know Hashem's greatness? By looking at his clothes. We shouldn't discount that, by the way. That can bring us to very high levels. We can really feel a palpable and tangible awe of Hashem when we meditate the vastness of creation. It is a breathtaking meditation if we really sit with it and think about the vastness of the heavens, the earth, and all their hosts, and then think about the worlds that are higher than that, that we cannot even fathom, the spiritual worlds. It's breathtaking. It's mind-boggling. It's astounding. It will bring us to a fear of Hashem in a mode of greatness, but the mode of greatness is still part of the lower level of fear. It's called lower fear. It's called external fear. Why is it called lower fear? Why is it called external fear? Because where is this fear coming from? It's coming from looking at creation. What is creation? Creation is but the garments of the King. Can you compare the King with his clothes? The clothes is just external to him. It doesn't tell us anything about his inner being. This is much different than being in shame, in fear of a person in our presence who is way beyond us, whose very essence is of a whole nother quality. That gives us shame from his inner being. Okay. So yes, it is just a lower level of fear. However, it is absolutely necessary. And that's what the altar tells us right now. Rak shehi hasha'ar v'hapesach l'kiyam ha'terah v'hamitzvais. It is only that this fear serves as the gate and the entrance to the performance of Torah and mitzvot. We want to have the higher level of fear. We can only get the higher level of fear after we've practiced Torah and mitzvot. So there's only one fear available to us before starting Torah and mitzvot, and it is this. This lower level of fear that we meditated upon Hashem's greatness. We got to know who He is from His creation, which only tells us something very external about Him. It's in the mode of greatness, but it's absolutely necessary because this is the entryway to serving Hashem. And by the way, the Altar is not telling us that only with this higher level of lower fear can we come to serve Hashem. Even the very basic that we've explored last chapter of just saying, you know what? This is what you want me to do, Hashem. I'm doing it. That too is part of Yirat HaTa'a, and that serves the function of allowing us to serve Hashem. For as mentioned earlier, Yirat HaTa'a leads to the performance of Torah and mitzvot. And it is concerning this lower level of fear that our sages have said, if there is no fear, there is no wisdom. Fear of God must precede the performance of Torah and mitzvot. So this expression of the entranceway, the gate and the entranceway, is sourced in the Talmud. The Talmud says like this. Kol adam sheyesh by Torah ve'ein by yira shemayim doyme legizbar shemasrulay maftachais hapnimiyais umaftachais hachitzaynes leimasrulay behei ayal. Any person who has Torah in him but does not have fear of heaven is like a treasurer, a gizbar, to whom they gave the keys to the inner doors of the treasury, but they did not give the keys to the outer door. With what key will he enter? Torah is the inner key. Chachma, wisdom, is the inner key. But in order to reach Torah, you have to have fear of heaven. You can't get into the inner gate without having keys to the outer gate. And the Zohar gives a parable of a king who hides himself, a supernal king who hides himself deep, deep, deep within many chambers. And he says, whoever wants to come in has to come in first for the first gate. And that's what it means, Reishis Chachma, Yir of Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is fear of Hashem. To get there, you first have to have fear of Hashem. So yes, contemplating Hashem's greatness through creation is still on a lower level. You know, the Talmud says, Kol makim she'ata maitzei gdulasei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sham ata maitzei an v'sanusei. The language, the way it's written in the Talmud today is a little bit different. It says gvurasei, but this is a quote mentioned often in Chassidus. Wherever you find Hashem's greatness, there you find His humility. So simply speaking, it means that whenever we talk about Hashem as high and mighty and mighty and exalted, it talks about how Hashem cares for the lowly and despised and the downtrodden. But mystically speaking, the Talmud says, "Dulasai zoi maisa bereshis." What does greatness mean? It says, "Lacha Hashem hagdula." To you, Hashem is the greatness. The Talmud says, "Dulasai zoi maisa bereshis." Greatness is the act of creation, and yet, for Hashem, what we call greatness is humility. That's how we would translate the statement of the Talmud. Wherever you find Hashem's greatness, there you find His humility. Because what we're calling greatness to Him is an act of humility. The Maggid of Mezrich, this was the teacher of the Alter Rebbe, he said, "He anava gedolei etzla yisbarich, sheyashpil atzmei kol kach lehislabesh b'mida zu." It is great humility on his part that he should lower himself so much to be clothed within this level. So we're calling greatness, but for Hashem, creation is humility. He's lowered himself. And when we're focusing on that level of creation, and that's how we're coming to know Hashem's greatness, it is a mode of greatness, but it's still on the level of Yirat HaTa'a. The lower level. And it's even though it's on the lower level, and we would love to have fear on the higher level, recognizing Hashem, who He is in His very essence, we can't get there. There's no way to get there. We have to get there by first practicing Torah and mitzvahs. But we can't practice Torah and mitzvahs without first having fear. Well, there's only one fear available to us before starting Torah and mitzvahs, and that is Yirat HaTa'a, fear on the lower level. So let me summarize what we said until now, and let's start this next section. And that is that we talked about this lower level of fear, and it is about this lower level of fear that our sages said, Imein yira ein chachma. If there's no fear, there's no wisdom. It is impossible to start serving Hashem unless we have this lower level of fear. There's two modes to this fear. There's the way it is expressed in a way of smallness, and that's simply recognizing that Hashem is the master. He's watching me. He's scrutinizing all of his actions. And then there is this lower level of fear as it is expressed in a mode of greatness. What is it in a mode of greatness? Look at his creation that he brought into being, something from nothing. Let's look at the unfathomable vastness of it, starting with the physical universe and then realizing that it evolves from higher and higher and higher worlds to the toppermost height of spiritual worlds. Astounding. That helps us come to recognize Hashem's greatness. But the Alter Rebbe said, wait, that still is part of the lower level of fear. It's called lower and it's called external. Why? Because what are we looking at? We're looking at creation. What is creation? Simply the external garments of the king. Okay, fine. I'll go to the other level of fear. Wait, wait, wait. You can't. You have to start with this level of fear. It is the gateway. It is the entrance to start serving Hashem. It is the gateway and it's the entrance to Torah and Mitzvahs. Ah, Hayira Ila'a, Yirei Baishas. However, as for Yira Ila'a, a fear stemming from a sense of shame before Hashem's greatness, fear of Hashem stemming from a sense of shame is similar to the shame and total sense of abnegation a person feels when he's in the presence of a truly outstanding tzaddik. His shame is not from that great man's external and revealed powers, as would be the case when one fears a king, like we discussed. Fearing a king only involves fear of his externality, which finds expression in his rule. Generally, the more extensive the king's domain, the greater will be the fear of him, right? You're going to look at two kings. One king rules over many, many countries, and one king rules over one small country. Who are you going to be more afraid of? The king who rules over many, because you're looking at his rulership, which is just an external aspect of him. The same is true of the fear of God, which results from contemplating the garments and revelation of godliness in all worlds, is therefore termed Yiratata'a, a lower level of the fear of God, inasmuch as it does not evoke the same degree of shame and self-nullification as is evoked by recognizing the greatness of a truly righteous person. There, the shame and fear is prompted by the great man's essence. The nullification and shame will therefore be total. Thus, Yira Ila'a is a fear which stems from a sense of shame when one is confronted by Hashem's greatness. And this is something that Chassidim throughout the generations have been working at, trying to arrive at total nullification to Hashem. The previous Rebbe tells a story of Chassidim who were walking back one night from a late night for Brangen. It was past curfew in war-torn Russia. And the guard catches them and says, Kto idiot? I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Golden will correct me. Kto idiot? Who goes there? And the Chassidim were all fired up. Could they say a name? Could they say me? There's nothing else besides Hashem. So they said, Bittel idiot. Bittel goes there. Who's going there? No one. Just not nullification is going there. Actually, the previous Rebbe in recounting the story said, when a person walks around in the marketplace and has Tanya in his mind, then who's walking there? Tanya is walking there. When he's carrying the Tanya in his mind, he is Tanya walking in the marketplace. But this is the level that we're working at, coming to realize that there's nothing else besides Hashem. What did the Alter Rebbe say in chapter 35? Hu levadehu ve'efes bil'adeh. He alone exists and there's nothing else besides him. Coming to that kind of realization is Yira Ila'a, the higher level of fear. It is Yirei Baishas, a fear stemming from shame, a fear recognizing Hashem's very essence, like being in the presence of a truly great person and realizing that his essence is way beyond, that causes you to just feel like nothing. Who am I? I'm not in existence for myself. V'yira pnimis shehinim sheches mi pnimis ha'elekos shebeseich ha'elameis, and an inner fear that derives from the inward aspect of the godliness within the world. wherein the person is cognizant of the inward and essential aspects of godliness, and not only of the external qualities of godliness which are clothed in all the worlds. The worlds are wholly nullified before this inward aspect of godliness with a complete and total nullification, bittul b'metzios. Awareness of this higher level of nullification leads to the higher level of fear, yira ila'a. So here we're not talking about as Hashem animates all the world. We're talking about Hashem's very essence, but which is puzzling because the Alter Rebbe says the inward aspects of godliness within the worlds. But why would he say that? We're not focusing on how Hashem animates all the worlds. How Hashem animates all the worlds is from an external aspect. Hashem has contracted himself. And from a contracted level of godliness, that's where he brings all of creation into being. And nevertheless, the Alter Rebbe says, this is an inner fear which derives from the inward aspects of godliness within the worlds. So Hasidic scholars explain, in order for a person to have a shame of a very noble, righteous person, it's not enough for him to know that somewhere in the world there exists a very noble and righteous person. What's going to press that button for him? That he's actually in his presence. So the same thing. When we're thinking about somewhere above in the higher spiritual realms, there's this level of godliness compared to which everything is nothing. It's the inward aspect of the divine. That's not going to push the button on us. What's going to push the button? When we realize that this inner aspect of godliness is present right here within the worlds. And that's going to cause us to feel profound sense of shame. Realize that there's nothing else besides Hashem. And we, what are we? Aleha amru im ein chachma en yira. Concerning this level of fear, it was said by our sages, if there is no wisdom, there is no fear. This level of fear must be prefaced by wisdom. And we're going to explore this concept at length next class, B'ezras Hashem. I'm really excited about it. It's going to help us recall things that we learned in chapters 20 and 21, coming to see where all of creation is and how truly there really is no other existence besides for Hashem. So Chami, thank you so much for hosting. Thank you for your beautiful soup. And I'm opening up for questions.